Good evening, everybody, to our Monday night's call. I want to welcome BBS callers. It is 7:59. Wynn hasn't joined us yet, but we're about a minute out. Heise is out. He is flying to Holland today for his mom's funeral, which most of you are aware of.
God bless him.
And we have a couple other people join us. Anyone that hasn't, give us your name and location.
Hi, Joel. This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We had a couple other people join us. If you'd like to say your name and location.
Jackie in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Jackie in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us.
This is Wynn in San Diego.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Good evening.
Good evening,
Wynn. You still in San Diego?
How's the weather?
Well, it looks like it's going to rain. So,
good.
Well, you asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it helps if we're here. I don't know. Terry, are you getting on? We did our event yesterday.
How late did you go?
I think we went till about 9.
Oh, you ended at 9? Because I had to leave about 9.
Yeah, maybe went into 9:30. I don't know.
Good evening, Nancy.
Pretty close to it. If we sound tired today, we had a big 3 days. Between, let's see, it was Friday night, we did an introductory talk in Pasadena. And then Saturday, we did an all-day workshop in Pasadena.
How many people showed up at the Pasadena?
I think about 15.
Okay, good.
Probably about 15 in both places.
Do people know who you are? Are they familiar with your story and everything?
Yeah,
15 or 17 last night.
There were people who were there for the first time, and there are people that have been regulars. Mm-hmm. But are you getting on, Terry?
No.
Why not? You lost your phone? Terry lost your phone.
Call her up. Make it rain.
And I have
How
to
many
hang
people?
Up. Hang on a second. I don't know where it is.
Greetings.
You need to call her. You're going to find her phone. You need to call her.
But then I have to hang up. Hang on a second. Let me call her on Skype. Terry, I'm calling you. You find it? Oh. All right.
Are you recording?
Hang on.
This?
Oh, wait.
Record this for posterity.
We're going to start in just a second.
Evening, Wynn.
Is that Michael?
Yeah.
Greetings. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Hi, Michael, you're in
Michael.
San Diego?
Hey, Michael.
No. Michael is Waterloo.
This is Michael in San Diego, but I think...
Oh, okay.
Hi, Michael in San Diego.
Okay, so...
I'm calling your phone now. You don't hear it?
I hear it.
Is it in the car?
It's in Wynn's pocket.
Close.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Terry and I have one thing in common, and that is... Both of our parents told us we'd lose our heads if it wasn't attached to us.
Or even.
Okay. I'll put this on the speaker. Okay, I think. Yeah. You found it? Hang on. Come on. You guys hear me?
Yep.
Am I on the speaker?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, does it sound as good as just before, or worse or better?
You sound good. I haven't heard Terry yet.
Well, I just switched from my headset to a Bluetooth speaker. But
you
I still
sound
just... Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Haven't seen Terry come in yet? You want to mute?
Terry,
and ready to record? Let me know.
Terry's here. I can... I got the console open, so... you can keep a monitor of things, but I'll just... We're all muted.
This conference is being recorded.
This is February 17th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in San Diego. And for those of you that have been tracking us, we've been on the road for the past almost 2 weeks now. Is that right, Terry? 2 weeks. And for the past few days, we did workshops in L.A., in Pasadena, and we did a grid healing yesterday, and then we did an introductory talk yesterday, then we did a workshop in San Diego yesterday. So we're kind of kicked back today, and actually, sometimes after these kind of events, I'm not kicked back. I'm a zombie for a couple of days. So we're not zombies today. That's good. We're here. And I kind of set up a really interesting call today that kind of like rests on some of our past laurels. I took some, you know, we have a huge amount of material and calls that we've done that you guys have never heard. And I thought I would play a few things today that are of interest, and we'll do this occasionally because it's pretty fascinating, because we have the original calls that happened in 2002 when I first started, and all the calls that I did while I was exploring this and asking them questions and trying to validate it, and, you know, different things which we've never put out to the public. And it's not that I don't want to put them out to the public, it's that we have so many things we're doing, and you know, we're not short of content. And it's like we put out so much stuff that people would have to walk around with earphones glued to them, like 6 hours a day. Actually, you know, to keep up with all the possibilities. So it's important to kind of try to put out what's most important, what's higher priority. But there's many things that are just totally fascinating. Sometimes I think they're too sophisticated to play, and sometimes they have personal things in them that shouldn't be made public. And then sometimes, you know, our group is getting way more sophisticated. In other words, for the longest time, I said, no, can't play this. This is too far out. But you guys have just been tracking this and learning and supportive. And ultimately, it's never the information that's most important. Information just kind of gives us an idea of how it all works. But each of us has to position ourselves in the workings. And when we do live calls, a lot of times people don't, not live calls, live events, people that are listening to us on conference calls don't come because we have so many conference calls, and they don't think there's a reason to come to a live call, which is good, because it's hard to come to a live call. We don't do that many live presentations. And it's not because I don't like them or I don't enjoy them. It's just, in general, it's too expensive. And there's not enough people who come to them at this point to be able to pay the expenses. So it's kind of a negative cash flow. Like, for example, you know, we did two events this week on Saturday and Sunday in Pasadena and San Diego, and I think probably we had about 15 people at the workshop. And the quality of it was extraordinary. And the energy in the workshops, you know, many of you feel this energy on our lives. I know that. But what happens is at the workshops, the energy is actually stronger. And it's like, how do I describe it? It's like, it's hard to describe till you're there, but to try to describe it, it's, I can feel the energy, this huge energy surrounding everyone in the room. And I can see the energy pattern in the room. And then the energy is stronger or weaker. It's always strong, but it can be even stronger depending on who's in the room. And because the people in the room are anchoring the energy. So if there's a lot of new people, the chances are the energy will be not quite so strong, and I'll be talking more to engage and introduce stuff to new people. When we have people that have been coming into the calls for a while and have connected to it, they kind of click on the space and they hold space in the room so that they help anchor the energy for the people that haven't learned how to do that. You know, there is a religion, I think it's called a religious science, that that actually seems to understand this principle, and they do something similar. They have a name for it. They have people that especially are good energy holders in the room, and they put them through a training, and they give them a title. Forget what they call them, but I'm pretty sure it's the Church of Religious Science that does that. And so they have strong energy in the room. But they don't directly, as far as I know, maybe the person who started that church did have a connection with these higher sources. It's possible. And I'm sure people have connections that may not call it the Elohim or the Rock Group, but they know they're connecting to something, and they may even get messages, verbal messages. And, you know, if you study this and watch it, as I have, these groups that we are in connection with, both the Elohim and the Ra, I know they talk through other people, and they don't always say the same name that they use with us. But like, they might say, there's a guy in Las Vegas who's a channel, and his source identifies itself as the group. And I am fairly sure that the group is connected to either the Elohim or the Ra group. Do you remember, Terry? Who did you think they were connected to more? The group. Steve Rother's group. In the Elohim. Yeah, we actually went to lunch with him. Terry and I were guests on his TV show. He has a once a month, or he had, I don't know if he's still doing it, he has a once a month show. And Terry and I were, actually I was interviewed and Terry just came, but then he invited her up, and Terry was super shy at the time, but she went up anyway and held her ground. and he was really interested in the work we were doing. And we decided that his source very well could have been the Elohim. And you understand how tricky it is with channeling. I say this, and I can't say it enough, that you can never really let your guard down, nor can we. And we could make a mistake, because it's possible you could get a source today, and tomorrow you get a voice that says it's the same source, but it's not the same source, it's something negative. Or, if you understand these groups, they have different sections that span out through frequencies, through dimensions, and perhaps we're asking questions that access one part of the dimensions, and then we ask a question that moves to another part. And so it's possible that a different part of the group will come through in a different dimension, and it may be the same group, but it sounds different because it is different. And that's certainly true with the Ra group as well. In fact, Carla was channeling the Ra group, and then David said he was channeling the Ra group, but if they were both the Ra group, the David Ra group was not the same place, but the Carla Ra group was coming out. It was a different section, different frequency, and it was closer to the human realm, human dimension. I mean, that's what Carla thought. And in any case, you know, when you're listening to channeling, you're saying you think that you have some sense of security because you have this information. It's probably a false security. I mean, the kind of work we're doing, it takes a huge amount of thinking about things being neutral. And like I say, the most important aspect is not the information, but the frequency, the energy, the transformation, the upliftment. And if that's happening, then that is far more relevant to your own evolution and evolution in general than specific information. But sometimes listening to the specific information helps us believe that they're real, believe in the process, trust them, and look for the energy when you haven't found it yet. And I went through, I was going to make it easy on myself and Terry, and I went through a couple of the old things we've done, and I thought I'd play a few things, and you can hear some of the conversations we've had that have never been made public. Some of them are kind of interesting. So I think that one of the things that's really fascinating is this idea that they can do intervention and that they can shift things. And how they come to the decision to do an intervention. And they can do things where we see people have miracles and healings. We see things where there's been transformation on our planet or in the weather or something. And so I have a couple of things I'm going to play, see, on interventions. And here is one where I was talking to the Elohim, and they were talking about Los Angeles. We were living in Los Angeles, and we were wondering if we felt safe here. And so this is the question, the seven-minute session, where they talked about that. Here we go.
In terms of Los Angeles,
we were just working with Los Angeles before you spoke.
Just now?
Yes.
Does it help to do these channelings for Los Angeles?
Yes, it does. And then it focuses energy into the area.
Are you actively making physical movements into the space to stop something from happening? Or would that more likely be Ra?
We are actually doing that. We are making movements into the space also. But Ra is a different frequency.
How would the Elohim manifest into the space? I understand there are orbs. Is that, you know, round colored orbs that come in and do things? Is that a manifestation that the Elohim would choose?
A manifestation is, it's more of a light, doesn't weigh very much, light, that kind of light, brilliantly, the words are, it's a pervasion, pervading of the spaces with energies, and in bringing the energies in, we bring light and love with those energies, which then pervades the space, and to help ease up the tensions and the troubles of the entities living in the area.
But suppose, for example, someone was going to set off a bomb and it needed a physical interaction to cause it not to go off. Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
Is that something the Elohim would do? Or would that be delegated down to a lower group?
If you ask and then you receive, it's something that the energy that you ask would be be only group souls or entities with the power to diffuse the devices that would be able to diffuse the devices, and it would likely not be delegated.
So the Elohim would do it directly?
Yes, or Ra also would do it directly. They, as the request was heard or the decision was made to start the diffusion into effect.
Would a diffusion like that happen on a molecular level or on a physical level? Or would it be decided at the moment? I don't know if you understand the question. Do you understand my question meaning?
Being that the molecular is a level of the physical, then the answer would be physical, and it would have to be, I understand your question. It would more likely be on a molecular level. A level that would take into account all of the forces and all of the aspects of the device. Maybe freezing it in some manner to diffuse it. Freezing not meaning cold.
Now, if those devices weren't located by other people, might they have been diffused by a higher interdimensional source?
It is conceivable that they, within the realm of Daphne was here, because he's got more words. It is within the realm of possibility is close, but it's not exactly the right word. It is within the realm of what can happen. That there is this, it is within the realm of what, of the abilities of the our groups to manifest within your realm. Whether or not that would have been based upon the prayers and desires and the consensus desire.
So it would be decided in the moment.
Right. Yes.
Okay. You notice every Sunday on our grid healing, when live, we ask for intervention prevent nuclear weapons. Now, can they really do that? Is that really true? We've seen lots of things happen on our calls. Those of the people who are on Sundays have watched various phenomena occur, from very small things, very large things, and of course, we can't prove that that it happened as a result of these forces. But there is a continuity seems to point that it's really possible. Now, another session I did, I don't have the date of that one. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. Another session I did had to do when I was exploring this idea of the Ra group being connected to Jesus. And there were a number of clues that were consistently coming up, and I thought I'd share some of the clues. First clue was that in a Wilcox channeling, and this was about 11 years ago, they said something like, "We came to you in Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up." But they didn't say religion screwed it up. That's the way I remember it, but that's what they meant. And so I said, okay, if this is real, I couldn't say that I could trust it, but I could say if it was real, they seemed to be saying they were thought loop. And then if we would assume that the same voice intelligence was speaking through Wilcox, it spoke through Casey. Now, Casey's source never said it was a good soul. And Casey was started out as a fundamentalist Christian. So the idea of a group soul could be a very offensive idea to someone who had a conventional Christian point of view about how things work. So I made the postulate that they wouldn't say that because they didn't want to alienate the work that Casey was doing, and so they didn't say it. And Casey made the assumption that who was talking to him was the Christ, or through him was the Christ. But of course there was never any expansion from his perspective of what the Christ was. And they were definitely talking about many, many things that pushed conventional Christianity to the limit. And if you look at Casey's work and look at how the channelings came through, you will find that for the first 20 years, he was bringing through messages for 40 years, and for the first 20 years, never did they go into anything esoteric, never did they go into anything with regards to reincarnation. They only did health reading. And if I was trying to reverse engineer their MO, why they did that, it was because Casey was a fundamentalist Christian, and they didn't want to do anything that would be offensive to him, that would cross his belief system. And so all they did was help people through health readings and through various cures for things. And then after Casey himself said he was worried about this, because if you're a conventional Christian, you've been trained to not trust this and to think that it must be might be demonic. So Casey had said, if I ever do anything that hurts anyone, I'm going to stop doing this work. And of course, he never stopped. And it was only after 20 years that they started delivering information on reincarnation and more sophisticated answers to questions. And people would then ask questions if they wanted to know about how the universe works. And of course, it's my contention that it was the Raghu that was speaking through Casey. And that in the early stages, it was the Raghu speaking, or part of the Raghu speaking through Wilcox. Now, at the present time, I don't know what David is doing. I don't know if he's, you know, one thing that came up in the Wilcox reading, and this was in the book, and David approved everything that was in the book. He read it with a fine-tooth comb, and there was one of the comments in one of the readings was, David, let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. Get your ego out of the way. And I remember reading that the first time, and I said, they can stop disasters on our planet? Who is this speaking through David Wilcox? And, you know, that led to a little question in my mind that probably resulted in this line of questions that you just heard on how catastrophe can be averted by these group souls. And then I was doing a session with DK, and I asked her, I say DK, that's the first person that was channeling, and she asked me to keep her name anonymous now. She's not doing it, and she's in her own state of retreat on this. And I asked the question, I was asking about Jesus, because there's still, I don't have every answer about Jesus, but I asked a lot of questions trying to understand and made the assumption that somehow or another these group souls should have been connected with Jesus. And how did that work, and where did he come from, and how did he figure out what he was supposed to be doing? And so I asked the question about, I really should have had that. I don't know where the audio of that one is, but it's even the transcript is extraordinary. We're talking about how Jesus could see the oneness in everything. He could see the energy in everything, and that he could create affinity and oneness in his presence. And then I asked the question, when Jesus said, "Father, who answered?" And they said, "As you would understand, it would have been the Ra group." Now, I personally don't like to say, I said this, and I'm saying this because so many people have been tracking our work. And if somebody has a traditional relationship with Jesus, you don't have to know that. You can just say Father, and it's fine. But for people that question what are the fine points of the manifestation of someone like Jesus in this realm, the answer was the Ra group. And when I studied the Ruckert material, and those of you that have studied it or come to our Law of One Made Simple workshop, the Ra group, they never took any responsibility for that in Carla's channeling. Understandably so, because that would not be a good thing to put out to the world in a public way, at least because people would think it was negative. They would think it was evil. And so I've had a resistance to saying it, but I'm going to play an interesting session I did a while ago where I was kind of exploring that. Well, the one session was when Jesus said, "Father," I think I said this, but when Jesus said, "Father, who answered?" they said, "The Ra group." And then in another session, I was exploring this idea of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit and trying to understand what that was in a way of understanding that went beyond, how can I say it, terms that I couldn't quite pin down, like what is the Holy Spirit? What is the Trinity? What is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? What is that? There must be an explanation that made more sense than just leaving it as a mystery like that. I know, when we do these workshops, this incredible energy, particularly yesterday, incredible energy in the room that I think yesterday, more so than Saturday, was stronger yesterday, that everyone in the room could feel that energy. And I think two of the reasons that the energy was so strong yesterday is, number one, Michael Adler was in the room. And he went in the room early and helped clear the energy. And he's been working with our group for probably 3 or 4 years now. And so he holds the space of that energy. And then there was a young lady in the room who I had identified as an Elohim soul. I met her a couple of years ago, and I learned to think I could identify an Elohim soul in this realm. And they have certain characteristics. And if you pay attention, you can learn to identify them as well, because they are very, very, they tend to be very handsome, very beautiful. They tend to be kind of emitting lots of love. And they can even be not very functional on the human level, but they're definitely, they look, this woman looked angelic, and I mentioned to her briefly at the Conscious Life Expo 2 years ago, she should read my book because I thought she was an Elohim soul. And when we were there last week, she came up to me and said, "You changed my life. I read your book. You're right. I know I'm an Elohim soul." And she was in the room in San Diego. Maybe she's listening tonight. She is. Hi. And she, Elohim souls, tend to resonate extremely profoundly with these energies when our calls are in, when we do a physical presentation. Because they, their system is built to connect with the resonant frequency of the Elohim. So they just go, how can I say it, they go, they'd have to explain their experience. I don't think I want to try to explain it, but they most definitely have an amazing experience. And when they are in our calls, or when they're in a live presentation, and some of you on the call know, we've talked about it, for Elohim souls, and you know what I'm talking about. So she was helping to hold the energy in the back of the room and bring it through the whole room, and Michael Adler was helping, and other people were helping. And those are the two people that I could identify. And I could look at both of them, and I could feel the energy that they were holding. I could see it. So in all of this kind of researching that I've been doing, we did a session, and I was trying to understand more about the Raghu and Jesus probing the idea of the Trinity and the Holy Spirit, and see what they said. And I'm going to play that session. I don't think I've ever played it. You know, I haven't played it because, you know, I know there's so many of you that are really taking our work seriously, and I'm not confronting you. And I don't want to play this kind of stuff for someone who would, and you notice when we ask questions, they don't like it. Redefine religion, even when there's a more accurate way of understanding certain things, because there's always people that are using traditional religion as a path, and it's working for them. And, you know, I see those people. I mean, I see certain people that I know are Christians, that I know have connected with spirit and God through their religion, and they don't need my work. They're already doing it, and I wouldn't try to, you know, take anything away from them. But for those of us that are looking deeper to how things really work, this is fascinating stuff. So I'm going to play this. Let me get this going.
Okay, I have some additional questions, just of a general sense. And it feels like I need to do that in terms of discernment, but it also feels like I'm moving into that space where things can seem overwhelmingly controlled by them, and Any counsel on what the right balance is, or am I doing okay?
Things are overwhelming.
Now, let me just clarify what I'm asking there, because I started this a few minutes into it. And there's this area where we know there's a lot of negative stuff on our planet. And I was wondering, some people don't think you should ever look at this stuff. You should make pretend it's not there, that you give it power by paying attention to it. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. On the other hand, the stuff can be so deceptive that you can be within a negative context and not know it. If you don't have discernment to know how they actually operate and what they're doing. And so I asked about the question of how and when should one focus on that?
Overwhelmingly controlled by them, and it is important to learn the information that they are leaving behind as clues so that you can sidestep any misdemeanors that they might wish to throw in your direction.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read something with regard to the Trinity. There was a very interesting comment made in one of the channelings that the Ra group created an energetic configuration in the other side that resulted in the Trinity. And then I read something recently that there were three suns put into place to create the energies for the Trinity. Can we have any more understanding of how the Trinity was created?
Thank you. The suns is spelled how?
S-U-N.
Thank you.
We could ask it S-O-N as well, because according to Ashayanandin, there were three Jesuses. So. But I guess the question is, how is it, in a way that we can understand, is an energetic configuration put together to create an energy that would be held, I assume, by Jesus to be manifested in this plane?
There is a, within us, in the Ra group, there is a, you might call it a plateau, wherein within that plateau, it is held energetically within a configuration. We are within that energy. There is not allowed any negativity, and it is a free will zone, and it is a zone that is able to protect and connect with the Earth and with the peoples of Earth, and that an individual may call in or may invoke that is protective and is a Christ consciousness is a period of Christ consciousness.
So it's essentially a triangle structure of energy that is impervious to the negative.
Yes.
And when you tap into one point of it, you also tap into the other two.
We do not. It is one point in the triangle, but within its own self, it is not a point. It is a space that is More trapezial, trapezial in shape, but it is one of the points of the Trinity.
So it doesn't have to do with three suns being moved into a certain configuration, three physical suns.
No. It is an other realm projection within this realm. By this realm, we mean the larger realm.
Are there members of the Ra group maintaining that configuration?
Yes, there are.
It doesn't maintain by itself.
No, it is being super hyperbole configuration that maintains itself. However, it does have watch guards over it that make sure that it maintains its integrity and its space.
Mm-hmm. Jumping back to the previous question, when there were situations where guns jam, you mentioned the Ra group does that, and certain manufacturers are making bad guns, and are there any...
It is not the manufacturers that are making bad guns, it is the individuals on the line that are making the guns that have decided that they will make defects in some of the guns.
Mm-hmm. And
just to make a comment about that, this is live, Wayne. There were a couple of things that someone said, that the guns were not going off in the field, and they seemed to be implying that it was ETs or something that was causing that. And I was trying to determine if this was some kind of intervention, and they were saying that, no, malicious system.
Are there any ETs that are doing this kind of work, positive ETs and spaceships, or is it all at the higher dimensions?
When you mention ETs, some people refer to us as ETs. However, it is more us and people of the realm, of the third density realm. The ETs from other planets, a pact that if certain nuclear silo missiles might be a threat, that they can come in and they can deactivate them.
Have they done that in the past? Because there have been nuclear deactivations. Has that been ETs or Ra's?
The ones with the physical spaceships have been ETs.
So there have been disabling of nuclear things by ETs?
Yes.
Okay. Because if there were nuclear explosions, it would disrupt the, much bigger space than just this planet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any comments on Rhea?
Okay. That's what I wanted to play. And I hope you found that interesting. And particularly, what they're saying was, what I was understanding, that the Ra group created an energetic connection from a higher dimension into this dimension, which Jesus was anchoring. And that the people could, through Jesus, connect with that and get moved through the veil into a space of love and hold a space that wouldn't be normally held in this dimension. And that was one of the gifts that Jesus brought into the world. So I hope that made sense, and about how things work in the bigger pictures. Terry, anything, comment you want to say? I'm not going to have her channel, I don't think.
I don't know if you noticed that when it was playing, but back then I had, I was really kind of slow in the connection, and oftentimes they would wish that Daphne was sick.
Yes.
I would wish that DK was there because she had a bigger vocabulary and was able to bring through more expressive words for their concepts. So that was interesting.
One time they told Terry she should be studying a dictionary and adding new words to her vocabulary every week. But in any case, you're doing great. And, you know, what's interesting is that if you go back and look at St. Catherine, and you read St. Catherine's dialogues with God, it seems like it is the Ra group speaking to St. Catherine. But they're speaking in terms of Christianity, because that they were using that, and that was, you know, the way we're talking now is far too sophisticated for that period of time, and that was the kind of verbiage and understanding that people could relate to, okay? But that is a whole other talk. It is 7:56. So, hope you all found that interesting, and we'll see you Wednesday when we answer questions. And keep in mind that if you're feeling the energy on these lines and you want to tune into this, Spirit Channel, thespiritchannel.net has got hundreds of calls where we explore things and bring in information. It's never been in this realm before. But I just told you, it's never been in this realm. And it all is very coherent. And, you know, it doesn't usually miss a beat in how it all connects. And it's a way to go to the university, okay? Because there's so much amazing information there that helps bring in the energies so that you can hold them. So on that note, I thank everybody that was here early and helping hold it together. Pies is in Europe, Netherlands, and his mother passed, and he's there for the funeral. And so thank you all who are helping, and we'll see you Wednesday. I'm going to unmute you all.
Winter, you get old. Night, everybody.
That was great. Let's do it.